A quick disclaimer. Opinions of host and guest do not represent the views or opinions of Functional Movement Systems. Always consult your physician before beginning any exercise program. This general information is not intended to replace your healthcare professional.
Welcome to the Movement Podcast. This show is all about movement. We tackle it from different angles, bring on guests, answer questions, go on a few tangents, and give practical advice, giving you guys a better idea of how you can optimize the human body to be the best it can be. Let's preview what's coming up in this episode.
When it comes to fitness these days, social media rules. It has removed barriers and given individuals the power to reach millions of people. But as it becomes our main source of information, is this a good thing for the health of our population? We look at the exploding popularity of fitness influencers, discuss mentors, entertainers versus educators, and how we choose to be either the problem or the solution. So let's fire up another episode of the Movement Podcast, powered by FMS.
So I think it's real important, Gray. Both of our backgrounds are in sports medicine. Mine's athletic training. You're obviously physical therapy, and who's influenced us over the years. You know, definitely, obviously, my background being athletic training when I was in college, it was all about, you know, the books I was reading, the academics. But as I got out working with you, started having a totally different approach and going into the strength conditioning world and then gravitating to more of the fitness world. I would go to John Tareem, had a huge impact, other than obviously you and Kyle Kiesel, the guys that, you know, are the brothers in the family now. But, you know, John was a huge influence on me, just helping me wrap my head around the whole strength conditioning aspect. And then as I started getting more into the fitness world and understanding that world a lot different, I would even say Geraldine Cooper-Smith started helping me, you know, see that world a lot different. So those are a couple people I would look at and say they help influence and shape me and how I, you know, started thinking about not just the more details around fitness and exercise, but more just that world and environment.
What's your PhD in again?
Health and wellness, health promotion, actually.
Health promotion, right. And we were already working together when you were actually going through that PhD.
You should be calling me Dr. Burton.
No, actually, I don't have to because I knew you before you were a doctor. It's sort of like, you know,
That doesn't mean anything.
You're Lee, buddy. But that's your degree. And yet, a strength coach and a very integral part of the Equinox education system both gave you insight that reading somebody fitness instructions has nothing to do with influencing their health or fitness. Both these people in a completely different way, one in pro athletics and one in consumer fitness, both showed you there's a much different way to actually get these actions to happen. And it's not information overload. It is, how are we going to scale the information? How are we going to dispense the information? What are the feedback loops we're going to watch? Both these people did that in an elegant way. And boom, you realize nobody in your PhD told you that.
Yeah, in academia, certainly, especially if you get into the specifics of research, which, again, we could all talk about research and academics and some of the issues that go along with that, but research and the academics sometimes try to take it too far. And a lot of the academics out there, and I was in that world for 15 years, they're in a cocoon. They are sometimes in the ivory tower looking down upon the people that are in the real world out there doing the work and trying to press upon them what they have written in a book or what they just researched, and realize that research has its place. It's in the lab. It's done in the lab. It should help influence what you may do in the real world, but it shouldn't dictate what you do in the real world.
An engineer of aviation can easily give a lecture to a bunch of highly accomplished pilots, but they consider the information. That person is a consultant. These people are the ones in the cockpit. They're laying their life on the line. It's a completely different conversation. So I will accept your information, and I will apply what works, and you're going to have to prove the rest.
And I think that I'm glad the whole idea about aviation, brought up is because in any profession, that's the way it is. You learn the basics, and in academics, and these people that the individuals, professionals that went through and got their, you know, ACSM or NSCA certifications, CSCS when they get out, you know, they get out, they learn basically what is contraindicated. They learned really that's what should happen in you know, your Bachelor of Science degree in almost any profession. Here are the fundamentals. Here's what you should not be doing. And really, once you get out in the real world, you're going to learn how to practically apply it. In almost any profession, you go through training once you get out. And I think in the fitness world and in the strength and conditioning world, and I would even argue even physical therapy, sports medicine world, there's not enough training, that real world training.
All right. Fitness influencers. My dad, he's the one on my high school track team, taught me how to throw the discus. And he would have been at the hospital visiting somebody because he's a minister. He would come down to track practice, tuck his tie in, take his pin out of his shirt, and best me in the discus throw with penny loafers on. Okay. He didn't hand me a participation trophy. He set a bar and he let me struggle to it. All right. I get in college. I get in PT school. Had a few professors do that. I want to learn kettlebells. Pavel didn't hand me a participation trophy. Ed Thomas with Indian Clubs didn't hand me a participation trophy. They made it hard, and the way creates the warrior. The obstacle is the way. The true influencer doesn't remove the obstacle. They teach you how to respect it and overcome it with whatever resources you got. So the one thing I can tell you is handing out a participation trophy and making you feel warm and fuzzy about your effort, if it is an inappropriate effort, is not what mentoring is. And so, you know, most people don't want someone to make it hard for you, but everyone who's excellent at anything has somebody in their past that said, yeah, you can do better, instead of you did enough.
And you don't know it until long after you have been involved with that person. Meaning, I didn't realize how much influence I was getting from you or Kyle, or even some of the people early in my career, John Tureen, until long after the fact, years after the fact, I'm like, oh my God, John actually taught me something.
Well, if John's listening, I'm sure he's going to bring it up.
I'm sure John's not listening.
Yeah. But you know, and so I've never, ever, ever discounted the burden of influence. My dad used to whisper in my ear, be a leader, not a follower. And I never knew what that meant. But I wound up being a team captain in high school, and it wasn't because I was the best athlete on the football or track team. It was because I tried to act and behave in a way that kept the team together, made things a little bit light when they got heavy, made things a little bit heavy when they got light. I just felt, I'm like, well, I'm not the fastest or strongest guy. What can I contribute? And part of it was synergy, unity, what's the purpose and stuff like that. And, you know, I get to college and I realize, hey, I can get some of my tuition paid for from an RA in the dorm. Once again, I kept sticking myself in leadership positions. And I saw you the first time you were on stage, and I know what happened to me the first time I was on stage. You clip on the mic and you think you're ready, and then all of a sudden the words don't flow. Yeah. But you keep putting yourself in these positions where I can do this, but I got to make it hard on myself. And before you know it, you know, you can actually lecture to 500, 5,000 or 5 people, and it doesn't really bother you. But that didn't happen the first day you had a mic. So.
Right. And I think, you know, today, you fast forward to today, and you know, my kids coming up, listening, you know, my son right now gets on YouTube, he's into fishing. So the people that are influencing him are the guys that he's watching on YouTube fishing. And unfortunately, we've got a lot of people out there, but on YouTube, he's watching them fish. He's actually seeing them do stuff. And I think on, you know, some of the people that are influencing fitness, strength, conditioning, are just showing you how cool they are on their videos and not actually showing you or teaching you how to deal with a person.
I've seen a few fitness celebrities pick up a kettlebell and stick that into their fitness program. And I would watch their technique that was televised or burned onto a DVD or posted on the internet and say, yeah, we got rid of those mistakes in day one of kettlebell training when it was done by somebody who's actually used a kettlebell as a tool to strengthen soldiers and special operators. And the integrity that they brought, and don't get me wrong, we have a lot of fitness celebrities that have been made influencers when even they will tell you, actually, I'm more of an entertainer. And if they don't tell you that, they're even being in an illusion because, you know, what happened on shows like The Biggest Loser is not really what happens when people confront their worst behaviors. You don't have the resources and time to do it with a cheerleader or a coach. You've got to basically grow up and say, too much sugar, not enough water, not enough sleep, can't touch my toes. I think I'm going to change that today.
And on The Biggest Loser, the one thing you don't see is the team of experts behind the camera that is making sure everything is going the right way. And right now, it's way too easy for anyone, little to no experience, to be able to hold a camera and show how cool they are by putting their, you know, ankle over their head and saying, hey, this is what you should be doing. Look how flexible I am. It's way too easy for that. And unfortunately, those are the people that are influencing fitness right now, much more than the people who are really getting their hands dirty, doing the work the right way.
You know, at the beginning of a lot of the HIIT training, some of the CrossFit stuff that was doing was a movie called 300. It was about the Spartans. And Gerard Butler was in that, and a lot of other celebrities were in that. And they got shredded, and they looked amazing. But what most people realized is these guys aren't Spartans. Right? They didn't go through the Spartan training because if you really want to get a little sick at your stomach, find out how Spartans made young men into Spartans. It was brutal. It was sadistic. And if they survived, they were a battle-hardened machine that was able to do one thing very well. Whereas what we saw in the actors in 300 was good diet, a lot of metabolic training, and a little bit of airbrushing. Okay? So that's not the same thing, but yet the guys in 300 and the workouts that they did got almost as many hits on YouTube as the frickin' movie got, right? Because how did guys this age get this shredded up and look like this? It's easy. Focus on your diet, focus on your movement, and stick with it, and don't ask for a participation trophy for about 5 months, and you will look and feel and be different. Still doesn't make you Spartan, but you look better.
Well, right. I mean, that's what, again, it's prime example. That's why people look at that and assume they can get that. They look at these individuals who are putting this stuff up out on Instagram, and they make an assumption, wow, if they can do it, I should be able to do it, but have zero idea how to get there. And the person they're watching has zero idea how to tell somebody to get there. But yet they're having an influence on that person. And I think that's a big misconception right now, is how are you even defining a fitness influencer? Because everybody wants to be an Instagram influencer. Well, I shouldn't say everybody. I certainly don't. I know you don't get on Instagram at all.
I think my quotes wind up there, but I think that's a business arrangement or something like that. But no, and I'll be honest with you, Lee. One of the reasons that I do sort of quarantine myself from social media is all the worst questions are asked there. Usually, and this is just a personal thing for me, I try to do a tight lecture. My dad was a minister. Nobody asked him questions after he gave a sermon. It was his job to remove as many questions as possible. The questions I get after I get tight on a subject aren't questions about that subject. It's people wanting to argue a point or asking me why I don't agree with another fitness enthusiast or celebrity or something like that. And I'm like, I have no idea why I don't agree with them, because that's a question for them. But I'm not here to make you feel comfortable with this information. I'm here to get you to the heart of the matter and the truth and the science of this information. And if that makes you feel uncomfortable, there's a lot of resources out there to either get comfortable or call me wrong. Just go do that. I don't need to be part of that conversation.
Well, and I think that's one thing we've tried to do. You know, we're sitting here talking about fitness influencers, and I would safely say that we have certainly influenced a vast number of people, but we've tried to do it by sticking to our principles, not just because the overhead deep squat is not one of the movement screens, because Gray Cook and Lee Burton can do an overhead deep squat. And I think that's to me where it separates itself from what we as educators are trying to do versus someone who's just trying to get likes on Instagram.
The other thing is, it's very easy to find somebody that's enthusiastic about a tactic, a particular thin slice of fitness, a particular product, routine, or program. But a strategy means we're going to win this war. We're going to win this war against your your disease. We're going to win this war against obesity. We're going to win this war against your low back pain. We're going to win this war. Now, the tactic and strategies we use will be evident by good process and good outcome. And anytime I keep trying to push a tactic that I can't measure is working, I'm more enthusiastic about my particular instrument than I am the way the orchestra sounds. And at any point, one of the things you and I've done in our consulting with pro teams and athletes is we literally tell both sides of the hall, sports medicine and strength conditioning, both of you got to raise your bar and work together better. And every time we've left a franchise, the ones I think we've left better than we found was communication and accountability on the metrics that they used to disagree on because they used to measure and value them differently. And when we showed them each of these stages, they're like, oh, we're both doing the same thing at a different phase in physical development, regeneration, rehabilitation, whatever.
And it's and one thing I'll say, Greg, we're talking about these, you know, so-called fitness, you know, influencers, celebrities, the people that are getting a lot of likes. It's not necessarily their fault. I think it's the fault of the individual that's not taking the time to do their due diligence to make sure they're consuming the right information. I will certainly get caught up and watch some of these crazy ass videos. That's okay. It's entertainment. And I think as long as we separate entertainment versus education, there's nothing wrong with it.
Tight clothes, slim bodies, positive talking makes you watch. But maybe that's not what you need. And usually the person that takes you to your weakest link in a kind but informative way and holds you accountable for that is the one that you're going to end up thanking 10 years from now, even though you won't like them when you go to bed tonight.
All right, let's take a break. And when we return, the guys take the gloves off and really get into the problems and dangers caused by some fitness influencers.
Performance is a goal for many clients and is the foundation for all skill-based sports and activities. The Fundamental Capacity Screen is a straightforward, efficient, and repeatable method to measure four essential movement capacities: motor control, postural control, explosive control, and input control, or simply restated as the developmental movements of climbing, carrying, running, and jumping. Once movement competency is established with the Functional Movement Screen, the FCS is the stepping stone between the functional movement patterns and skill-based coaching. The FCS demonstrates ways in which the four fundamental capacities affect sport and physical activity and provides a baseline measure enabling professionals to know where to focus training to reach higher goals. Get started today and find a course near you.
Lee, I got to start this one with a quote. And I go back to Mark Twain when I want to say something in less words, which I know you appreciate.
Believe me, we all appreciate if you say something in less words.
Okay. It starts to be Mark Twain right now. This is his quote. What gets us in trouble is not what we don't know. It's what we know for sure that just ain't so.
That right now, with everybody's ability to turn a camera on and start talking, is definitely true.
Confirmation bias. We get lulled into the sound of our own voice and start becoming self-anointed experts. And, you know, I've always tried to surround myself with people who don't let my confidence get ahead of my ability and giving me a clear perspective of what's actually changing on our watch and what's not. And I don't think if we don't have those feedback loops, it's really easy to go into full on monologue and believe all your own bullshit. And I honestly think that a lot of people on the internet don't look at the bad comments. They look at the good comments and say, well,
they look at the likes, that's what so many people are trying to do right now, especially in the fitness world, where you got so many people just trying to get those likes, and they think by the number of likes they're getting that they're positively influencing people. And they could just be doing the opposite. Just because they have, you know, certain things that they do exercise-wise that look great, man, how in the world are they doing that shit? Doesn't mean somebody on the other side should try to do that shit.
Well, Usain Bolt can't teach you how to run faster, Lee. He just leans forward and wins a lot of races. Doesn't mean he can help other people run fast. So, you know, I look at some of these people just like you do, and gosh, yeah, I wish I had your body, or I wish I could stand next to your body. But ultimately, your physical ability doesn't equate your ability to help others gain that. And so the illusion is, if you're a good actor, you can help me be a good actor. No, I don't think Tom Cruise can do that for you, Lee. I honestly think, you know what I'm saying? So their ability to do this thing could be inspiring and entertaining, but I don't think they can get you there because they're more concerned about their performance than where to meet you. And if that helps you set a goal, that's fine, but don't follow their path. I don't think it's going to work out for you that way.
And it is extremely problematic when we're talking about actually influencing someone's health and fitness. When someone out there is searching for whatever that is, searching for some type of exercise or something that's going to help them personally be more healthy and more fit, and they come across the person that's got the most likes or person that has the most hits, and they start following them, and that person has zero idea about how to actually take what they can do and really educate and help someone else. That is a recipe for disaster.
Our second principle is protect before you correct, correct before you develop. When I see somebody in a point of influence give you do's without giving you don'ts, they are selling something or they're ego-driven or guru-driven, because a true parent, a true coach, a true teacher and mentor will definitely make sure you know what not to do before we issue a game plan or a playbook. There are certain things we will not do, and there's a few extra things that you right now aren't ready to do. Mr. Miyagi told that to Daniel-san, and a lot of people have told me. And if you walk out on stage or walk out in front of a camera and you don't issue the don'ts before the do's, you are part of the problem.
Right. And it's way too easy. Again, what do we all gravitate to? We all gravitate to something that's cool, something that we can't do ourselves. And it's, again, it's entertainment. And if we would, again, as an influencer, we have to be a little bit entertaining to get people to listen to us. But if too many people that are really influencing fitness right now are much more entertainers than educators. And I think that's a big problem. And I think that's where we're very slippery slope right now, because the entertainment factor in the world of health and fitness is creating so much talk that it's so much information that you can't really sift through the bullshit to get what's real.
Well, you got to realize entertainment-driven fitness is actually not driven just by entertainment consumptions. It's usually driven by a marketing plan of clothes, products, or programming that is for sale. But comparing that to true personal fitness education is like comparing fantasy football to football, okay? There's a lot more people involved in fantasy football than there are playing football. They do have the same words, same terminology. They are not the same thing. One does not get you ready for the other.
And I'm on Instagram, and FMS is on Instagram. We, and Gray, you do certain things on there. And I think we are really trying to help educate. I put myself in the bucket of an educator, and I do enough fitness on the side, but I do know what the person should not be doing. I think the education versus the entertainment, it's so tough to decipher what's real and what's not, but in this world of social media, that I'm pretty worried about what it's going to be like in 5 years.
I'm fine not feeding into that message, and just like you, I try to make my quotes both inspiring but also cautionary. I feel that's my role. And once again, Mark Twain, whenever I find myself on the side of the majority, I reconsider my position. And right now, I don't want to be on the side of the fitness majority, because it's the exact same shit repackaged from 1980 to 1990 to the early 2000s. And all it's got is tech and sex behind it. But it's the same damn harder's better, push yourself, you're too comfortable, push yourself out of your comfort zone. All that stuff is good, but the clear path and the thing that will actually remove your health and fitness risk factors on this enthusiastic journey aren't being talked about. A lot of health and fitness has become a popularity contest. And that's sad in a way, and I'll bring two examples. A few years back, we noticed a thing called lifestyle diabetes. It's called adult onset diabetes, but we had to change the name to type 2 diabetes because all of a sudden kids started getting it. In Japan right now, the Orthopedic Association has been looking at a thing called locomotive syndrome. Locomotive is just walking, right? And they started noticing how aging adults in the Japanese culture had a specific gait pattern that led to physical immobility, falls, and risk. And then they said, oh, crap, kids got it too. You see what's happening? We're making these observations to extend somebody's quality of life, realizing that the same problems elderly people or adults in a toxic lifestyle are getting are now infecting kids. Why? Because they live in the same damn houses and they move the same way and they are printed by the physical landscape. And I honestly think the people competing for likes and popularity contests on the internet are probably not the best influencers. And unfortunately, they're going to figure out the same thing celebrities and politicians did. A third of their likes are freaking bots. So don't listen to them.
Well, that's the thing, Greg. We have to make that happen. We are part of the problem. When I say we, society is part of the problem because we're feeding into that. We'll go in there and we'll hit like on someone who does some crazy ass exercise or looks good on film and not connect the dots that that's just entertainment. That's not good education. And I think hopefully what will occur is we will start being able to sift through that bullshit and really start gravitating to who is really helping us and educating us the right way. And I think that's probably one of my biggest frustrations is that we aren't getting our information out there the way I feel like we can because there's so much bullshit out there. Right now, more than ever, and this is what's going to happen over the next 12 months because virtual education, online information is going to be higher than ever because of the environment we're in right now. People are going to, and everybody's going to get into that world, start trying to put more information out on the internet, trying to do more education. And just because you can do it doesn't make it right. Anybody can drive a car, but not everybody has a license.
No, that's good. And one of the things I heard is I'm not just talking about the popular people on the internet or what we may watch on TV or a download. I'm talking about your football coach with what sounds like good advice, but it's unattainable. I had a conversation yesterday with a strength coach. A kid came to him, fastest kid on the football team. Coach said, you need to put on 30 pounds. That coach is assuming that kid can carry 30 pounds and be at the same speed because that coach didn't say get slower. But everything that kid's getting ready to do with diet and exercise to put on that kind of weight on that kid's frame is going to make them slower. And that coach didn't realize you can't put on 30 pounds and maintain the same speed. You just can't do it, especially not with the resources available to that kid. So it sounds like good advice because what he's really saying is if you want to play at the next level, you got to be this fast and this big. We already know that kid ain't going to be that big. And if he is that big, he's not going to be that fast. So why not just let this kid stay injury free for a season and get him into the weight room and try to make him a little stronger. But the minute the stopwatch says that strength, that attainment of mass is actually hurting the one physical attribute why he's starting, you miss it. So my point is the assumptions that the fitness gurus are making are assumptions we can't make anymore. The people you're giving advice to have way more don'ts they need to hear than do's right now. And all they're going to do is consume your workout of the day, your program, and your suggestion with all the assumptions that you've allowed them to have. Shame on you. You're the frickin' pro. Step up and do it right. Otherwise, I ain't going to know you 2 years from now anyway. You're a one-hit wonder, and every band that's lived for 30 years tolerates the one-hit wonders. So I don't think you and I are going to have to worry about this because there's always going to be one-hit wonders, but the message and the albums that stand the test of time will be fine.
And that's what we're trying to do. I mean, that is ultimately, Gray, what we're doing here. It's what our mission has been for the last 20 years is trying to help people disseminate and cut through that type of bullshit. Influencers can come many different forms. That high school football coach is an influencer. The person that's getting 1,000 likes, 100,000, 200,000 likes is an influencer. And I think what our job right now is to try to get out as much good quality information so people can make those decisions themselves.
If the only gauge of your influence is popularity, you're a politician. And everybody knows how we feel about them. It's mixed. and they go in and out of favor all the time. So play the political card, get your likes and move on into your next life, or stay here and hold the line and give people the simple information that ain't easy to consume, but I ain't changing it. It's simple. It ain't easy.
Well, that right. But that person has a lot of power. Just like a politician, that person has a lot of power. And the ones that are just searching for the likes, they will, but they'll be gone in a few months. But even the people that are in there trying to do that now, take that opportunity. Let's make it positive. Take that opportunity. Go learn. Don't just worry about the crazy ass exercise you can do or how tight I can make my top or my pants. Go out and learn so that if you do have the opportunity to get 100,000 likes, turn it into a positive and start educating them the right way and stop worrying about how many likes.
And the other thing is, and I saw this, just watched The Last Dance about the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan, Phil Jackson, stuff like that. And Michael, about halfway through that documentary, reached a crisis where people were imposing everything on him. They were making him a role model. He goes, no, I'm just trying to show you guys how to play basketball at the highest level. It's gritty. I get into my teammates' stuff. You're making me a role model. But how about the guy on the Wheaties box that we found out 7 years later was on roids the whole time? What are kids? You just influence kids. They thought it was the Wheaties. Now we know it was growth hormone and testosterone. Which way do you want to influence? So when you get too caught up in your own influence without that feedback loop, you're going to send the wrong message inevitably. Unless you start with the right message. And part of that is be sure of what you know ain't wrong first.
So, Gray, one of the things that I think is probably the scariest, and we fall victim to this a lot, because I'm getting the emails, I'm talking to the attorneys, of how many people that take our seminar today and go out and start posting movement screen information tomorrow. And, hey, I'm doing this. I'm learning the overhead squat. I'm finding out the glute's doing this, glute doing that. Shit, they just learned this information today and they're talking about it and trying to influence people tomorrow. They haven't gone through the obstacles of figuring out how to actually make it work. And I think those people may be more dangerous than anybody out there trying to create more influence.
They are. And the one out I give them, and when you and I used to teach on the road together in the last 2 hours of the FMS workshop was Gray and Lee doing exactly what we're doing now. We're being approachable and very honest about our experience. And what we would always say is, listen, go take your test to demonstrate you know how to do a screen, but don't stop there. Go do a bunch of screens on people that aren't paying you in a professional way. You got friends, you got family, and you got coworkers that you could do your reps on. The day you do this as a professional is not tomorrow. Yes, you learned it and you can take your test tonight in a hotel room, but I would really like you to do a few more reps of CPR before you save my life. And when we gave people that caution, some of those people went right home, set up the camera, and started talking about the FMS on the internet and their experience. And I hate to squelch their enthusiasm because I want that enthusiasm to carry them through 25 absolutely free screens on their time, cutting into their workout, family time, and recreation. And then they won't be renting the information. They will own it because I know.
That's a very important thing you just said, because too often that's what you see from some of these people who have the mic in front of them, who have the camera that they can turn on. They're renting the information. They don't own it. They haven't gone through the necessary steps to really understand what they're saying and what it means to someone. And that's important. Just because I can regurgitate what Gray Cook says doesn't mean I really know it.
Yeah, and a lot of people have gotten really good at the scripts we say, but then on the other side of that, when they have to use the technology, the system to confront a problem and to say, oh my goodness, you've got five problems, but I have the confidence to pick this one. And that's what you're going to run into. The first 20 screens you do aren't going to be easy, but almost every body type, if you do it right, you're going to see within those 20 screens. And each of those is going to accept, consume, and respond to information differently. That's the path I'm putting you on. But if you're so enthusiastic about this information and the paradigm shift it created, you will actually be hurting the message, not helping it, with your well-intended enthusiasm. And so I don't ever assume that anybody's got malice or anything when they go out and try to dispense information. But nobody wants to hear a green belt talk about martial arts. I want to hear a black belt talk about martial arts.
And it really carries over into everything. And Gray, I don't know if I'd totally agree with that. I know you said that's what you would hope, is that they're not doing with malice. And I don't think they're doing it with malice. And I'm talking about anything. Forget our information. Any information someone may read or hear or whatever it is, then they go out and they try to give that information out across the internet because they think it's cool and they're looking for those followers. And what they don't know, again, is they don't know all the other background pieces of information with which that one thing is built upon. Okay, I'm going to go and talk about foam rolling the calves. And I think, foam rolling or doing soft tissue work is great. So let me get on the internet because I read an article on it and tell everybody they need to be foam rolling and doing stick stuff and soft tissue work on their calves and their quads. Well, some of that stuff is good, but maybe not for everybody.
No, and you're right. And that's why on first pass, because I'm an asshole, I can give you first pass and give you an out and say, squelch your enthusiasm, curb your enthusiasm, own this stuff before you talk about it, bring it to your own niche, but follow the principles. Follow the principles, know why you're doing this, know the process, know how to measure outcomes, know how to use feedback. Now that I've said all this, Jillian Michaels swinging a kettlebell on TV is wrong. She shouldn't have done it. She did it wrong, and I'm right.
Yeah, watch her do a Turkish get-up. Same thing.
You're basically bringing heavy shit to a move you don't know, and knowing because you got more hits than anybody else in fitness using a kettlebell, by default will think you're smart. Everybody who knows what you're doing knows you're an idiot, and everybody who doesn't is getting ready to bring the same dishonor to this that you are. And so I hate to throw her under the bus because I think, once again, she's well-intentioned, because just because a fitness product is popular and you're a popular fitness enthusiast doesn't mean you get to meet this product and then give it to the world.
It's like you're an idiot. Before you go on stage, okay, Gray, here's a kettlebell. Go out there and see what you can do with it. I mean, and we've had some of those instances in the past where you and I have been approached by, whether it's equipment companies, whether it's company X, company Y, and say, hey, can you guys do something with this? And we've been pretty quick to say, no, unless it fits into our fundamental philosophy, fundamental principles, protect, correct, develop, make sure you're doing it right. Don't, make sure you do the don'ts before you do the do's.
Yeah, no, it's really neat to look at the way that products try to influence fitness, because everybody, I think, is respecting what we're saying. They just said, well, tell people how our product changes that. And I'm like, philosophy changes that. These products are innocent.
It's a strategy.
Yeah. This is strategy versus tactic. And they just want us to think that one particular, tactic is the thing. It's not.
That's right. It's again, going back to talking, whether it's equipment or whether it's the fitness influencer, really, it's no different. A product, it's still, what are you doing with the information? Whether I'm dispensing it to someone who I'm trying to get to learn from me, or whether I've got a product and I'm just showing you how cool this exercise is, it doesn't mean it's wrong for you to show that, but you have to have a good, you're obligated now because you're out there trying to influence someone to know what's right and what's wrong.
I think a surefire litmus test for the inappropriate influencer is, do they actually eat the meals that they're making for everybody else? And I'm going to give you an example, because I'm not trying to throw Jillian Michaels under the bus or anything. I can just say, I can tell by what she's doing, she doesn't work out with a kettlebell. She was just handed one on the set and said, make up some hard stuff with this heavy thing. So even if she had a coach, it was a good coach. It didn't work with her long enough. She didn't learn quick enough. She didn't do it right. But I've actually been on the lecture circuit in the transition time of when movement screening was way less popular than it is. And I've had lecturers come up in front of me and behind me and say, hey, we got Gray Cook here, and everybody knows I don't screen because the way we exercise, I can just watch you go through a couple of workouts and know what your problem is. And I've had that very person power down their mic, meet me backstage and say, dude, my knee's clicking really bad. Do you mind looking at me? And I'm like, why don't you just run around and I'll figure it out. Or would you like me to put you on a table and break it down and do a screen or assessment or a test and give you some feedback? Because what you just did is cut my legs out from under me on stage, but you're back here consuming the same thing I'm telling them to consume. So you're being a hypocrite. And so don't think I don't recognize that. Now, we can't go behind the scenes and see what some of these influencers do, but I promise you, they're not showing you what made them look like that or feel like that. They're just performing the things they think that will sell, and they're reading the script they were told to read. And so if you walk out on stage and say something other than you do, you are the problem.
Yeah, I agree. That is exactly some of the frustration that I see in so many different areas. Again, we could take that to fitness. We could spin it into our world, physical therapy. You know, if you're not practicing what you preach, you are a hypocrite.
And I have been. I've been on stage and I've said something that I wasn't doing for myself. And so I feel very, very appropriate to call everybody out, because every one of us in a point of influence has said something that we don't embrace or do personally, even though we know we should. And so I do feel liberated in saying that, because I've made that mistake. I know exactly what it feels like, and I know how easy it is to make. So, yeah.
But the point is, don't make it twice.
There you go. Now it's on you.
That'll do it for this episode of the Movement Podcast. Thanks for listening. And if you liked what you heard, please take a minute to subscribe, share, and review. If you want to learn more about our system and take the next step in your movement journey, visit us at movementpod.com. Until next time, remember to first move well, then move often.